Moms, I decided, it ain't quite been decades ago. Yeah, it's been decades ago. That on Mother's Day, the greatest way I could honor our moms was to preach the Word of God. And so I don't try to come up with some sappy Mother's Day sermon. And it always seemed like to me that on Mother's Day, we praise the mamas. And on Father's Days, we fussed at the dads. You know, it's just kind of, it felt unfair as a dad. And so we're going to just continue our study in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. Now, what it does mean is with all these special things going on, preachers need to preach a little shorter. Amen? Don't amen that. Don't amen that. Praise the Lord. So beginning in verse 7 through verse 14, let's continue our study of John's letter to the churches there in Asia Minor, what would be modern-day Turkey. He's writing to encourage them, to challenge them, to remind them of who they are and who they walk in. And he continues in verse 7. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. And so John has just previously in the earlier part of chapter 2 says, we will know that we know him if we obey his commandments. And now he says, I'm not writing you a new commandment. It's an old commandment that you have known from the beginning. In the word, it is in the word that you have heard. The word there is logos. It's what John says in chapter 1, that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so he's talking about Christ. He's talking about Jesus. And we have not a new commandment, but an old commandment. And the commandment is this, to love one another. It's a commandment. To love one another is what he's going to speak about here. It's what he spoke about in his gospel. It's what he's going to talk about more as he goes throughout this book. He says, beloved, John has great love and concern for the people that he's writing to. The word which you heard, if we are listening to the truth of God, our love for the Lord and our love for others is central to our faith. From the beginning, there has not been a time in the heart of God where his commandments didn't include love God and love people. To love God and to love people. From his writing in Deuteronomy 6:4, we went to verse 5 in this in the baby dedication, but here again, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. From the beginning of the message of God, Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest of all the commandments? And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of them were trying to trip him up and trick him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus knew their hearts. But Jesus answered this way, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Can I just tell you this? You may not understand, or you may not be able to quote all the commandments of the scripture. I promise you there's not as many in there as a lot of legalists would want you to think. But if you'll love God and love people, you'll get there most of the time. If you'll love God and love people the way that Christ has loved us, you will walk in pretty strong obedience to the Lord. You will know that you know him because you obey his commandments if you will love God and love people. We need to pray that God would grant us greater love for him, and it will lead to greater love for others. Because I promise you, the more you love Jesus, the more you're going to love those around you. The more you love Jesus, the more you're going to love those created in his image. But then verse 8. I give you not a new commandment, but an old commandment. But verse 8 says this, at the same time, it's a new commandment. Sound like he's running for office there for a second, but anyway. At the same time, it's a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. At the same time, again, or on the other hand, it's something you've known from the very beginning, but again, on the other hand, at the same time, it's new. How's it new? John says it's true in him. You see, the newness is not in the command to love, but in the perfect example of love in Christ Jesus. It's not a command in of itself that it's new to love. It's the perfect example we have in Christ and the help we have by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And it says, and in you, because the darkness is passing away. And the true light is already shining. Can I just tell you this? We can't love God and we can't love people unless the presence and the love of God dwells in us. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who enables us to love people. Now, I'm not talking about that one that's just hard to love. You say, man, without God's help, I can't love them. You know, y'all know, don't be pointing at people or poking or anything like that. Can I just tell you, we can't love anybody the way that God intends for us to love if we don't have the love of Christ dwelling in us through the power of His Holy Spirit. The people that were commanded to love God and love people, they did not have the gifts and the extra benefit that we have, and that we have the example of Christ. Now listen, you need to understand this. Jesus is more than an example. Jesus is the Savior of the Lord, the perfect sacrifice who died and bled and was buried and rose again. Jesus is our Savior. He is more than an example, but He's not less than an example, and we ought to act like Jesus. And we get that example, but also the Holy Spirit dwells in us, empowers us by His gospel. And so it's not a newness of command, it's a newness of how we can accomplish the obedience to the command by God's grace and through His strength. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you've not changed since you claim to have met Jesus, you didn't meet the same Jesus we see in the Bible. Because you can't meet Him, be saved by Him, and stay the same. You just cannot. I'm not saying you've arrived yet, because I don't see anybody in here that's dead physically. But I'm saying, if you're the same you were the same day you said you met Jesus, you didn't meet the Jesus of the Bible, because He always changes us. I ain't saying some of the ugly don't stay around sometimes. I'm just saying something new has to be there if you have met Christ, because the Bible says if we're in Christ, we are a new creation. John 13:34, Jesus said this, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are to love one another. We have greater ability to walk in obedience to this command because of the example of Jesus and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. John 8:12 says this, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus said in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. In John 8, He says, I am the light of the world. In Matthew 5, He says, you are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. You know what this is? This is the verse we get, this little light of mine, right? I'm not going to sing to you. I love you. It's Mother's Day. Amen. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. It's the only place in the Bible that I really think it tells us people need to see your good works. But it's not so that they can see you. It's so they can give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It's not a new commandment, it's an old commandment from the very beginning. But in the same way, on the other hand, at the same time, it's a new commandment. We're to love not just as we've thought we were supposed to love, we're to love as Christ has loved us. But we're empowered to do that by His example and by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We should love one another. It shows the world Jesus. Look at verse 9 in the text. Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The word there, hates, gives the idea of anything short of the selfless Christ-like love that we're called to give. If we don't love people in the way that Christ told us to love them, we are in our way, in some way, hating them and causing them to stumble, and we're stumbling around in darkness. There's that word abide again. Look in the text, there in verse 10, we see that Jesus says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, abides in Christ, abides in the things of God. We talked about that. That's the answer key, that we're to abide in Jesus. John 15 is just a great passage of Scripture, and he says, if I abide in you and you abide in me, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. That word abide, and I got to thinking about it. I had several people, well, preacher, what does it just really mean to abide? And I woke up several mornings this week just thinking about that word abide and desiring to abide in Christ. And I was just doing a little bit deeper research on that. And I came across a decent description of what I think it means to progress in the Christian life to the place where we abide in Christ. And there's really three phases in how we walk with Jesus. And the first phase is this: we have a knowledge of Jesus. Everybody in the room has a knowledge of Jesus. I would expect there's nobody in the room right now that has never heard about Jesus Christ. And if you came in this morning and never heard about Jesus, you've heard about Jesus in this message. You've heard about Jesus in our singing. You have a knowledge. A lost person can have a knowledge of Jesus. Most of the people we knock on the doors around this building as we go out into our neighborhoods, they have at least a knowledge of Jesus. Can I just tell you this? Satan has a knowledge of Jesus. Many lost people have a knowledge. Now, there's still people in Vernon Parish. You might not believe it, but there's people in Vernon Parish. We've met some of them that have no clue who Jesus is. Never heard of him. Never heard of him. And around our world, there's billions that have not even a knowledge of Jesus. But you have a knowledge of Jesus. You might be saved, you might be lost, but you have a knowledge of Jesus. But then there's the next stage, and it's fellowship with Jesus. And I don't think you can have this unless you're saved. Because that which is holy, that who is holy, he can't have fellowship with that which is unholy. And the only way we're made holy is in Christ Jesus. And so there's that fellowship. Oh, I pray you've got fellowship with Jesus. That you have a relationship and you're spending time with Jesus and you have that fellowship. But there's knowledge, which you can be lost and have knowledge. There's fellowship. You've got to be saved to have fellowship. But then there's this abiding. What's it mean? The best definition I saw was to take up residence. It's almost kind of to move in, to make it your abode, to abide in Christ, to dwell, to cleave is the language as you see around that word. Oh, man, you. I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't have knowledge, but you can have knowledge and still be lost. Oh, that you have fellowship, and that fellowship is sweet. But can I just tell you this? Once you abide in Christ, you don't want anything else but to abide in Christ. Every once in a while, your sin will unhook that connection. You'll kind of step out the house. You're not walking the way you are, and that fellowship doesn't even seem like it. And then you're hungry. Sometimes it'll mess up the fellowship. And that fellowship doesn't even seem like it's the way it's supposed to be, but the good news is this. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To abide, to walk consistently in, to dwell, to take up residence. John says that those who love their brother, they have no cause for stumbling. And those that hate their brother, how can you say you love Christ, is what John will say other places, and not love your brother? The heart of God is to love one another. We see this continuing contrast between life and death and light and darkness and truth and a liar. Here's my question to us this morning. Are we walking in life with Jesus, abiding in Christ, or are we walking in death? Not necessarily even physical death, but the death of opportunity, the death of testimony, the death of victory, the death of peace, the death of all the things that come with abiding in Christ. Are you walking in the light or are you walking in darkness? Are you walking in truth or are you walking as a liar? You ever woke up? Not so much at home has this happened. Every once in a while, I'll be in such a deep sleep at home and wake up and it's dark, completely dark in the room, and you ever stub your toe or, you know, just forget where the furniture is. But when I'm traveling, if I'm in a hotel room, or especially if I've gone overseas and I'm battling like new place and jet lag and tiredness and stuff, and wake up in the middle of the dark and just like, where am I? You ever tripped in your own house because you forgot that was there? Or maybe you went to bed and your wife moved the furniture around while you were sleeping. Not my wife's never done that, but I've heard stories of such, right? That you walk out and you don't. Why do we stumble when it's dark? Because you can't see where you're going. And John says that if we are one that says we love God but hate our brother, we're like one stumbling around in the darkness. We're going to hurt ourselves. And really, when we claim the name of Jesus, when we walk like that, we can hurt others. You ever heard anybody say, well, if that person's a Christian, I don't want anything to do with it? It's not going to hold up when they stand before the Lord. It's not. God's like, oh, okay, I'll give you a pass just because so-and-so was not acting like they should. That's not what Scripture says. They'll still give an account. But wouldn't you hate to be that person that caused that stumbling block, that gave them that excuse? We should walk in the light as he is in the light. We should abide in Christ. We should love God and love one another. Now, to love one another is not to lose your conviction. To love one another is not to compromise just so somebody will be happy with you. Sometimes the greatest way you can love someone is to lovingly and graciously tell them the truth of Scripture. That's love. But we ought to love one another. If we obey this command, we live in the light. We will not stumble or become stumbling blocks. We'll grow spiritually and progress towards Christ likeness. Jesus said this in John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples by how often you go to church. You ought to go to church. You ought to, but that's not what it says. By how often you claim to love Jesus. Now, what's it say? If you have love for one another. I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this, church. I said it Wednesday night. If we'd love one another the way that God's called us to love one another, I guarantee you, even everybody out there that thinks they hate church, that they hate Jesus, they'll want what we have if we really do what God's called us to do. They'll want it. I promise you. Because the world is desperate for it. And the only one that can fulfill it is Christ Jesus. But he tells us that our testimony will be known by how we treat one another. We ought to love one another. I love some people by just picking on them, but, you know, we love one another. We love one another. John 15:12-14, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. What's he commanding us to do? Love him and love others. I will have to admit there's something different about a mother's love. Y'all just get a head start on this, right? Y'all are thinking through these things in a little bit more detail than we are for, you know, 8.5, 9 months, if everything goes according to plan. But a mother's love is probably one of the most pure and closest to God's love that exists. And I'll just tell you this, a daddy's love is too. It's a pretty strong love. I did not know that I could love someone to that capacity until you have children. It's just different. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's nothing against my wife. I love me some Carol Ann. I'm just saying it's just a different love. Amen, baby? Amen? Happy Mother's Day. Have you ever recognized this truth? That as much as we love them babies, as much as we love our children, that our love for them pales in comparison to the love that God has for them and has for us. I didn't understand how deep that love was. Now, to tell me grandbabies is a whole different level, but anyway, that's not yet. You know, slow your roll, but anyway. Do you understand how much God loves you? As we looked at those precious children up here with their moms and daddies, and the love that we feel for them, the love those mom and daddies feel, the love y'all grandparents feel for those babies, that love is pale in comparison to the love that God has for us. And Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. If we come anywhere close, we will change this world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. All that the world would see, our love for one another. Search your heart. If there's any grudge or any hard feeling you hold against someone else, you will not be right with God until you deal with it. It may be you just need to let it go and forgive them. You cannot even approach them, maybe. It's such an issue, but you need to deal with it in your heart between you and God. If we truly love others, the greatest way we show love to them is to share the good news of the gospel. How can you say you love someone and not share with them the greatest news the world has ever known? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Love God, love people. Then in verses 12 through 14, I think John kind of feels like, man, I've been like hitting them, hitting them, hitting them, hitting them. Let me just remind them of some good things, right? Let me remind them of some encouragement. And he walks through these blessings that are available to all different stages of those that are walking with Christ. And I believe he's addressing the whole body, but he approaches it with different categories of maturity. And he's addressing the body of Christ. And he writes these things beginning in verse 12. I'm writing to you little children. He loves them as little children because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Thanks be to God. If you know Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Amen? I'm writing to you fathers, those with some maturity, that you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you children. This is a different word than the word for children in verse 12. It's a little bit more mature children, a little older children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men because you are strong. He's not talking about physical stature. He's talking about in the Lord. You are strong. And the word of God, there's that word again, abides. The word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the evil one. We are not able in and of ourselves to love God and love people. But the Christ who dwells in us through the power of his Holy Spirit can grant us the capacity to love God and to love others like we never thought possible. And I just think we ought to ask him to help us love people more. I'm not going to tell you I've arrived in one of my areas of struggle, but can I just tell you something that's helped me in my struggle with how terrible people drive? Can I just, right? Y'all have seen me progress in this issue over the last 4 years. And they're getting ready to build another traffic circle. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus. It might be good when it's over, but it's going to sanctify your pastor in the process. Is every person driving every vehicle is somebody that Jesus died for. Every person you encounter in every transaction that you do in your personal business or in your workplace is a soul that Jesus died for. And if you and I claim to love Jesus, we are that moment's testimony that might be the difference between whether or not they want to reach out to him and have what we have. I just tell you, I've met a lot of Baptists. I don't want what they've got. But as I walk with Jesus, all I want is more of Jesus. And may that be what the world desires when they see us, because we are a loving God with all our hearts, minds, and souls, and we're loving our neighbors as ourselves. We're loving others as Christ has loved us. Man, God loves you. Preacher, how do you know that? Because you're his. You're created in his image. He loves you. He could not love you more than he loves you right now. But he wants you to know Jesus and to abide in him, that we might love him well and that we might love others well. In the name of Jesus. Will you pray with me? Our musicians are coming. We're going to respond to God's word. Lord Jesus, what a blessed day. We're reminded of the love of our mothers. We're reminded of the love we have for the precious children you've granted to our care and to our stewardship. Lord, I've been reminded in so many ways this week of how your church here at East loves well on its families as they've celebrated with us in a special time in our lives. I've been reminded through the years as the pastor of this church, your church here at East Leesville Baptist, of the love this church shows to our church family as they walk through different stages of life. Sometimes we do that incredibly well, and sometimes life just gets in the way. But Lord, help us love one another well. And Lord, let us love and enable us to love those outside of these walls in such a way that they desire the Jesus we have. Lord, do whatever it is you desire to do. If there's one here today, they'll never love you the way they should, and they'll never love you and love others the way they can if they don't know you as Savior. And Lord, there's some in this room, a crowd this size, there's got to be at least a dozen or more that need to receive Christ right now, right here. I pray you draw them to yourself. There's others that are struggling. Lord, there's bitterness and there's roots of hatred in their heart towards someone else. And maybe, Lord, it was caused by the pain that that other person caused. But, Lord, they can't walk in that bitterness and that hatred and be at peace and be right with you and walk in victory with you. So I pray you grant them whatever they need by your grace to bring a solution to that issue. And, Lord, in our day-to-day activity, may we remember the world is watching. And Jesus said they would know us by our love for one another. Help us love one another well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.